Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb, and you're listening to All Ball. And we're actually in Las Vegas, and this podcast was recorded live at NBAcon. And, you know, it's amazing how my job works. And there are times in which you get into the daily radio show, the Doug Gottlieb Show, which is broadcast live every day from 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. It's a 2-hour show. Then we do an hour podcast that's called In the Bonus. All it's doing well, but, you know, you get in the summer and you're kind of, you know, you're kind of shuffling around. How can I talk about sports, make it interesting? And then you come to NBAcon, and I was excited. We'll drop a pod in a day or two with Josh Childress. We have other great pods coming for you from Vegas. I think you'll really enjoy. But Joey Graziano sat down next to me. He is the SVP of Global Marketing for the NBA. And I wanted to get into his personal story in an effort to, you know, he's a college baseball player. And one of the things I love about college basketball, college baseball, college football, and it's not that I push back on, I push back on NIL, but it's like the real value is in the people you meet, the things you have to do, and how you get to have a great job in real life using not just the connections you make in your sport, but also a lot of the little fundamentals of what it takes to make it in sports, it takes to make it in life. What you're about to hear is not planned, a completely organic conversation. Oh, yeah, by the way, the NBA's new NBA Cup is also his baby. It'll also be in Las Vegas. We talked about it as well. We kind of had to get it back to basketball at some point. But I would love to tell you that I had this planned out, that I knew his personal story, and that's what most of the pod would be about. I cannot tell you how riveting this is, how, in many ways, gut-wrenching it is. And I'm going to promise, I don't promise many things on this podcast. I like to sometimes cut them up. You know, we get the way it really works. Okay. It really works is sometimes we get these, and this is a really long one. The way it really works is we cut them up. We have a hour and a half long session. We cut them up. And if we can get 3 out of them, it's great. The numbers are great. Numbers are great. You like it more. We make more money. Everything is good. This is too good. And I would just settle in and listen to this pod and maybe grab a tissue. It's definitely going to make you think some strong thoughts of your own. But I want to start like by thanking Joey, because I mean, we just got him to put down his cell phone because he's putting out fires. This is a massive conference hall we're in at the Mandalay Bay, which is going to be the Radio Row site for the upcoming Super Bowl, as well as for the upcoming NBA Cup. It's gigantic. There's a concert kind of going on. There's DJs. There's a basketball court. There's drills. There's shoe con is going on as well down the hall. A lot of stuff going on. And I think we all thought he's just going to promote the event and tell us about the NBA Cup. We talked about that. But if you want to hear personal stories and how your life can change in a couple hours as a high school senior, I think you'll enjoy this pod. Without further ado, here's our live pod from NBAcon. We're live here at NBAcon 1. Right. Who can say they were at the first one? It's like the guy who's like, I was at the first. Remember that commercial with the guys that have been to every Super Bowl? And they went to the first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? And the Super Bowl started, and they had like a marching band at halftime.
right? Now, performing at halftime, hell, Chris Stapleton's national anthem is like the iconic national anthem of all time, and that was this past Super Bowl. By the way, Vegas, the site of, I think, this year's Super Bowl, right?
That is.
So, and we're at the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl of the NBA, and the Super Bowl of the NBA, I think, is going to be here in December as well. The guy to help us kind of break it down for us is Joey Graziano, who is a senior vice president of global events.
Yeah.
Okay. And, okay, so you're a baseball player in college.
Yep.
You get done at Georgetown.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I kept playing for a little while. I moved to the Dominican Republic. Had a nonprofit there called Baseball Libros. The idea was to be able to, grew up in New York City, was playing ball. My dad was a New York City fireman, so I spent a bunch of time in Spanish Harlem. And the thought was I wanted to be able to sort of reconnect with that. And so we built a school there to be able to incentivize literacy, mathematics, convince kids that you could be able to play baseball at a high level without having to forgo the academic side. From there, went to Georgetown Law School.
But hold on, wait. You opened some doors there.
Okay? I was, yeah.
Because Georgetown was 2002 to 2005. Dad was a New York City firefighter.
Yes.
So that means 2001.
Yes.
You're in high school.
I was.
You said I could ask you anything.
You could ask me anything.
Where were you?
9/11.
Yes.
Where was it? I was a senior in high school. My father was a fireman at Engine 22, Ladder 13, Upper East Side of Manhattan. My father is the last person to leave any Twin Tower alive. My dad's entire firehouse passed away. I lost incredible men who were great, very close to me. I spent my early years at Randall's Island in New York. We were playing softball every Thursday, so you didn't not go to school. That was the one rule in our house, was you didn't have to go to school on Thursdays if you wanted to go watch Dad play softball. So my heroes, growing up, were not Dave Winfield and Don Mattingly, but they were these giants.
Ooh, you can name them.
Incredible names. You know, Greg Stajak, who was a pitcher at St. John's, who, you know, taught me how to play ball, and then, ended up being somebody who I can remember watching one of my high school games when I was a junior in the state championship, was there at that game, last game he ever saw me play. The following fall, obviously, things changed. So names like that mean a lot to me. The guys of Engine 22, Ladder 13, and their families are, you know, a driving force in my everyday reality.
It's incredible. You know, I was a professional basketball player. I played a year in Russia.
Yeah.
And I came back, and I played with the Lakers in the Summer League. Summer League was at Long Beach State back then. And then I came back to Oklahoma, and I trained at Oklahoma State. And what I would do is I would go and do fill-in radio.
Yeah.
And the guy who was the big afternoon drive host there is a guy named Jim Traber. And he played for the Orioles, and he was like a local legend. And he was the color guy for the Diamondbacks. So the Diamondbacks won the World Series, right? Yeah. They were really good back then. And so it was...
They broke Yankee fans' heart that year. Luis Gonzalez, my dad threw out the first pitch of that ALCS. My dad's a baseball guy. That was the Jeter, saved the series.
Yeah.
with one of the greatest plays of all time.
Yes.
Yeah. That was that series. My dad threw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. On that series.
Well, then that makes it that the greatest first pitch in Yankee Stadium, because I was thinking, I was going to ask about the George Bush first pitch in Yankee Stadium, which is
very iconic
as well. But I remember that day, and then later, obviously, working at ESPN, then was at CBS. We lived in Westport, and so many of those families were affected by 9/11. I can't imagine, and I can imagine why you went away from home to go to Georgetown, instead of playing for St. John's. So you're doing a nonprofit, you're playing ball, you're in the Dominican. How'd you get to the league?
So I ended up leaving. I went to law school. So I was at Georgetown Law School for a number of years. Thought that's probably where I would spend some time. I was fortunate enough. I won a fellowship. I moved to Ireland for a little over a year. In the middle of my law school, I boxed professionally. Actually, the first time I got to play hoops again was I played for the Galway Collegiate Basketball Team. If you can imagine, like, I've got a bunch of 18-year-olds.
Hey, a good friend of mine, Dave Revson, works for the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
He went and he studied abroad.
Yeah.
And he played basketball in Ireland, too. And that was where he told me, and I don't know if this is true. He said, you know, they say in Ireland, and it's that the closer you are to the Guinness, where they make the Guinness, the better the beer is.
I think that's right.
Is it true?
I was drinking more of the whiskey, but I think that's 100% right.
So you got a fellowship, you go to Ireland.
Yeah, go to Ireland. I come back, and then I'm now a practicing attorney, and I practice at Jones Day. I expected to probably spend a big portion of my career there. It was a great firm. I learned a bunch. I had great
work. What type
of
law?
So I was white collar criminal defense work.
Okay.
Saving kids. and I thought I'd be there for a while, and there was a family who was very instrumental to my family during 9/11. They're the reason I got to go to college. And that family, they happened to own a small business in D.C., and a guy asked me to have coffee with him. He said he was going through a bet the company litigation. There was a fraud issue with his CEO, and he was like, I need you to leave the law firm and come work for me. I mean, we're going to have to rebuild this entire thing. And so my dad's rule in our house growing up was, if your neighbor's house is on fire, you run towards the fire. It's the only rule he ever gave us. He didn't believe in anything else. Simple man, simple rules. And so I left. I went to the managing partner's office that afternoon, gave my 2 weeks notice, walked out of a law firm and a big paying job, and ended up at a company that had 20 employees and no real office, with a bet the company litigation that was on the front page of the Washington Post on my first day. It was a small business that was taking care of kids, and so allegations of fraud in a very popular small town become a very, very big deal. And we rebuilt that company. I became their chief operating officer, went from 20 employees down to one, took it back up to 1,000, wild successful, creating immersive versions of hyper-localized versions of Disney World around sports. We had a third of the Major League Baseball's IP, the Head First Companies. And then 5 years later left. And was thinking I was going back to New York, and I was going to take some time. It had been a crazy run, and I was going to write this story about my dad's firehouse. That's what I wanted to do. I was coming back to do the interviews, to start taking the notes. I wanted to write this story. I didn't know what I was going to do with the story, but I wanted to write it. And while I was there, someone asked me, would you go have an interview with my boss at the NBA, Kelly Flato? And about 10 minutes into the interview, she said, can I bring HR in? And next thing you know, I'm talking about a job with the NBA in a way I was never expecting.
What year is this?
This was 5 years ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and at the NBA,
I don't want to dwell on the 9/11 because I know it's so emotional. Have you ever asked your dad about the day?
Yeah. So I've gotten into one fight with my father.
I appreciate this, by the way. I truly do.
I've gotten into one fight with my dad. It happened to be on September 10th.
Oh.
As you know, senior, you were an athlete. I was an athlete. I was, at that point, thought I was good. I wasn't good at anything, but I thought I was good. And my father said that the coach from Haverford, Dave Beccaria, one of the all-time great human beings on earth, had been reaching out, and trying to recruit me. And I was like, Haverford? I'm a Division I baseball player.
I don't want to go to Division III, right?
Yeah. And I didn't, and I wasn't being respectful in my responses back. I was just letting him reach out and not respond. And my father told me that, in this house, like, if somebody offers you, like, you call him back and you say no, and you can say no, but you say no as a man, and you call him. And I refused to, and I told him that he never went to college. He doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. And that's how I slammed the door. I said a bunch of other expletive words as I walked up the door, and my father went to work before I saw him again. So I thought my father had passed away until the 12th was when we finally found out my dad was alive.
So, where are you on the 11th year in high school?
I'm a senior in high school, yeah.
And then how did you guys find out? Because I was driving in a car from Stillwater, Oklahoma to Oklahoma City, and I heard it on the radio, and I thought it was like a spoof of War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
And I walked upstairs to the radio station, and that's when the towers were on fire, and I saw them both come down. Paint the picture for me for that day.
Yeah, I mean, I was in school. We were in a science. I mean, I can remember taking a biology test. Took a test. We get notice that something had happened, and then if your parents are in the World Trade Center, you could come down to the library for the guidance counselor. And my dad had been at the 96 World Trade Center bombing. I knew my dad was working that day, but I didn't think anything of it. I just was like, keep going to school. Kept going to school. At lunch, I saw the first video, the news of the towers and things. Like, and I was like, this is not good. But I, again, didn't recognize how bad it was. My best friend, his mom worked in one of the other smaller towers, and I was more worried about her So we went, he picked me up, like we went to school together, he drove me home. We first went to check on his father. We went to his father, who's a Garden City High School guidance counselor. We stopped over there, was like, is everything okay with mom? She was fine. But then we get home to my house, and I knew things were wrong the minute I got home because the cars were lined up in my driveway. This is before cell phones. Like, I didn't own a cell phone.
Yeah.
So there's no way for me to get a hold of anybody. And I knew, and my mother was cooking. My mom does not cook. Small Irish woman. Like, we do takeout. We don't cook. She was cooking. And when I walked in, and my aunts were in the kitchen, and I knew immediately things were not good. My mom had heard from my dad early in the morning, and that was the end. We ended up not finding out for hours later when somebody said they thought they saw my father. And then it wasn't until he came home after, you know, about 2:30 in the morning. So my dad had been carrying somebody out from the 24th floor. He had met the rest of his firehouse in the lobby. And he was carrying somebody who had a heart condition. He kept carrying that man. He jumped on top of the man. The building came down. My dad was outside. My dad's firemen and fellow firemen were inside the tower in the lobby. So my dad, I've seen the video. My dad was buried alive, and then ended up being able to get out, and his fellow firemen were not.
2:30 in the morning, do you still have like soot and dirt all over him?
He came home, and I can remember the first thing he said to me was, they're all gone. That was the first words. My father and I have had one real protracted, very long conversation about it, which I sat with him. It was a night we were together, just the two of us in Florida, and talked for a very long period of time about it. But that's probably the extent we've ever talked about all the details.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I transitioned to the NBA, but I'm going to have to. You need a second? Are you good?
No, I'm good. I'm
okay. So you get... So they offer you a job.
They did.
Did they tell you what you're going to do?
I mean, I think as much as any place, like they referenced, it was in our global events, we were talking about how we were making larger direct-to-consumer transition at the NBA, identifying more ways to be fan first, because our teams have always been incredibly fan first, but the league has been different. And as we're making that transition, we've talked a lot about, can it be more than just content? You got to give fans experiential opportunities, and that's obviously what I had spent the last couple years at Head First doing, was building this very big experiential business, and that was exciting, and the ability to be able to do it globally was the thing that probably hooked me in. And you know, on day four at the NBA, I was on a flight to Mumbai, India. You know, we put on the first ever North American Professional Sports League games in India. So it was those kind of opportunities. I was in China, you know, when our business opportunities changed and we had to react there. I was, you know, on the ground, first person to enter Florida for the bubble, the last person to leave. So I think it's been these kind of incredible opportunities. And now we're at another one, launching a brand new business, our second big experiential business of the year. We launched a business called NBA Experiences, which is our premium experiential business, giving fans from around the world the opportunity to be able to come to NBA events and interact with our fans and our players in unique ways. And now NBA Con.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How challenging is it? Because I think it's all tied together, right? I want to talk about the basketball tournament that you guys are going to have. How challenging is it to build out this business of experiences, people paying thousands of dollars, and you're in this wave of load management in the NBA? Like, wait, sorry, dude, we got these people coming, and you got to play tonight.
Yeah.
What is that like from where you sit?
Well, I think a lot of it is we're really excited about all the facets of the NBA, right? Like, I mean, there's so many ways for our fans to be able to connect. And we know from my side, our fans are as interested for all the dynamic reasons of our players. I think of our players as investors, as entrepreneurs, as social justice advocates. And when we build experiences, I want to target all of those things. So I love our on-the-court product. Nothing is more important than the on-the-court product, and everything that we can do to ensure it is at the highest levels, which the in-season tournament, which we're announcing, is another way we're trying to do that. Add more competition at every level. But I also think it's as important to recognize the complex humanity of our players. And to give our fans an opportunity to be able to get close to that. And so when we think about building experiences, you know, we're in Paris and we're doing a shoot around on the court with Tony Parker. Like, that's an experience that, in my opinion, is priceless. You're talking in his home country, in that moment, being able to give 12 fans that opportunity to be able to connect to that level. The behind the scenes access that we can offer as you build things, I think fans are craving that extra authenticity. They want to know the raw moments, and I think a business like NBA Experiences is able to offer our fans a number of those raw moments as we build things, as we interact, and so I think we rely on that entirety of the experience.
Okay, so who was the lady or man who said, "I got it, NBA Con"? Like, was there, you guys having a brainstorming session, right? Yeah. You got a whiteboard up there, and like, what do you think? Like, let's do NBA Island. Like, no. Let's do the Bachelor NBA. Like, no. Let's do NBA Con. Like,
It worked.
Who was it?
So it's an interesting story. There was over four years ago, we've been working on this concept to try to launch this new business. So there's a gentleman here, a guy named Ron Walden, spent his career at Nike and at Jordan. And he had, before I got to the NBA, flown to China to meet my boss, Kelly, and convince her that this was a great concept. And he had, you know, an old slide deck, which I still have, talking about it. And when I got here, one of the first things Kelly handed me was like a deck. She was like, "Is there anything here?" And it was some, you know, as we were thinking about all these new businesses, I was like, I think there could be, maybe there's something here. And NBA Con was written on that deck. So it's a name that came from Ron, and he had spent some time building some of these other businesses, Complex Con, and I think he thought that there was.
Is Comic-Con the first con?
Comic-Con's the OG.
Yeah.
The OG.
Because like Watergate is the first scandal, and everybody goes gate, so Comic-Con is the first con?
It's the OG.
Yeah, I got it.
Like, you know, you still want the old Comic-Con shirt, and sure. I think for us, we realized from our brand, there's some things that are a little bit more culturally relevant and authentic in ways that we can showcase, and that was sort of the desire. And as you're looking around, this is the start. And the thought, you know, as you know now, New York City kid, I believe in the neighborhood. And that, like, I always felt like when I was, you know, go up to the Bronx, it would feel different than when I was living in Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, every neighborhood feels different. And the thought of how we could create these different neighborhoods for NBA fandom and give fans a totally different vibe is the vision of where NBA Con starting right now and is going to go, is that each of these neighborhoods across fashion or tech or music or the park, I want like that to feel like a New York City park. Like, as I was walking around, I was like, where's the person pushing the shaved ice? Where's the dudes playing chess? Like, that's a New York City park to me. And so we're trying to add these elements.
Quick side note. So my dad was a New Yorker. My dad was from the Bronx. Moved out to Long Island when he was like 13, 14. And I grew up in Southern California, but he'd take me back.
Did he call you soft?
No. But the only thing that he didn't get that I would bitch about was we'd go and play in New York City in the summers. He'd get me on the court at West 4th or at some of these other courts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hate playing there. It's like, why? He's like, you know, outside of West 4th, nobody has any nets.
Yeah.
Like, I hate no nets.
That's a great point.
I can't take
no
nets.
Do you like the chain? I miss the chain
I hated the chain.
Yeah.
Because when you're in, like, middle school, high school, before you can dunk, You know, you go up and you could touch the net.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's something cool about hitting the swish with the net sound.
I was gonna say, especially your jumper. I mean, you could shoot.
It was no, I could not. That was. I was like, I was a West Coast New York City point guard. I could dribble past all the fancy stuff, but I couldn't shoot. So, I do know. So that was the. So from 4 years ago, Ron comes up with the idea. Hey, he's got a deck. What do you think, NBA Con?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you decide on Summer League and Vegas?
Yeah.
And not New York City?
I think the desire was, like, each of our marquee events have a different vibe. When you want to launch something here, it's the players. Right, we've got over 100 separate appearances, more than 60 players walking through here. I mean, incredible live conversations. Later today, we're going to roll Victor and Kareem. Like, I mean, I want to sit in that room. I've never, like...
How'd you guys get Kareem to come?
That guy right there, Michael Levine. Michael Levine, who's our head of player marketing, who's an incredible, like, built his entire career on the relationships that he creates. Michael's got Kareem coming. He's built an incredible relationship with Victor's team. So we've got Victor, Kareem, followed up by Carmelo and Scoop. And then we're doing the in-season tournament announcement. Like, that's 3 hours as a basketball fan. As a fan of the NBA, as a fan of just great content.
Can I give you a suggestion for next year?
I want to hear it. I got a notebook. I'll take notes.
Can you get the Peach Jam here? Can you get the EYBL here? Because LeBron is coaching, Russell Westbrook's coaching,
yeah.
Chris Paul's coaching, and Chris Paul's kid will be in it next year. He'll be a ninth grader, yep. Right? Kyan Anthony is playing in it.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine?
No, I know.
I can't imagine being a high school kid and these guys are coaching. Like, LeBron James is coaching an AAU team.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yes.
I mean, very different from when we were playing.
No doubt.
Yeah. I had, like, a dad who was coming off a double shift.
I played for Kareem, by the way, in the USBL.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yes.
That's crazy. Wow. I mean,
in a shocking development, we butted heads a lot, but we made up since. So NBA Con comes to be.
Yeah.
Now, the announcement last week is, okay, the in-season tournament is the next big step.
Yeah.
That's like the cups. And when I played in France, played in Europe, yep. Played in Israel, it's the cup format, right?
Yeah.
So I guess the idea is, what, to get people more, to get guys to play, to get people more enthused in early season basketball? What's the thinking behind it?
I think it's just alternate competitive formats. I think all of us believe that when we put our players in competitive environments, like the game's amazing. And as our game has continued to grow, it's more and more international. And our international players are used to different types of competitive formats. They grew up watching all of the things that have happened, you know, in soccer, and seen the ways they put it together. But I think we've also seen in the U.S., right, the rise of March Madness and the continued growth of the collegiate game. We've looked at the way that college basketball has, you know, built their, you know, all the holiday tournaments that they have. But even when you come here to Summer League, why I love Summer League, I mean, it's 10 days of really good basketball.
Yeah.
It's not always pretty, as guys don't have, you know, they're not on the team for a long period of time. They don't have the time to run practices in the same way. But guys play incredibly hard. And I, that's why I love, I mean, I could sit and watch 10 hours of Summer League basketball every day of the week. We got to watch two practices here yesterday, and somebody came up to me and they said, I can't believe how hard the Cavs players are going on a practice.
Trying to make a team.
Exactly right, right? They're trying to make a team.
I thought Wembanyama, that was a tough spot for him, because you're going against a bunch of guys that are trying to make a team, trying to make a name for themselves, and he's clearly tired and doesn't know what he's doing, right?
And no better way for anybody to make the name themselves, than to go, yeah. But I think, so when we think about the in-season tournament, that's the desire, is like, can we create more competitive environments? And so I think we're thinking about it was the way we thought about the play-in, and I think that's been an incredible success for the league.
Agreed.
Is like, just additional layers of competitive environments are really good for our players, they're good for the league, and they're incredible for the fans.
Last thing, you're the head of global events, right? So when you travel globally,
yeah,
what are the names that resonate the most? Like, do people still, is Jordan still?
You threw out the GOAT. I mean,
is it,
yeah.
But is he still that overseas, or has, because I know how big Kobe was in China.
Yeah.
Right? I know how big in Philippines as well, because they're gigantic Lakers fans. Like, what is the pecking order when you travel globally?
Well, I think the one thing that's really changed in the last couple of years is people want to root for their own, right? So I think where Jordan and Kobe were, you know, truly transcendent global stars, and they will be forever, for, you know, for all of history. But now you've got Luka, right? You've got Jokic. And these are kind of names where when you're growing up. Like there's now an added level of pride, real pride. That's my guy. And I think that has been one of the real transformations over the last couple of years. And I think that's going to be the opportunity with Victor. I'm sure at some point we're going to have an incredible opportunity to take the Spurs at some point, to Europe. The amount of pride that people will have will feel really different. And I think that started with, Yao in China. The way where people feel like they want to root for one of their own. And so I think that has been one of the real changes that's been so exciting about the growth of the international game.
All right, this is probably the longest you'll be off your cell phone for the entire week.
Yeah, I got to say, I tip my cap to you.
So this has been amazing. It's an amazing event.
Yeah.
I look forward to year two.
I can't wait.
And seeing the growth. I appreciate you telling your story. That means a lot to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, we did number one, so that means I got you for number two.
Like, you definitely.
Yeah, you're a good man. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much.
I appreciate it.
Well, look, I have lots of thoughts on the NBA Cup, having played in three foreign countries. The Cup format, I like. Now, the difference in the Cup format in foreign countries is that first and second division is usually involved, right? So, like, when you're playing in France in the French Cup in the regular season, Pro B plays against Pro A. Now, they usually get dusted, but occasionally there's an upset. So I like the format. They have the pools, the pod system. And with the exception of when you play in a championship game, everybody's going to play 82. So only whoever plays in the championship game play 83. And the idea is to bring more attention to the NBA regular season. I obviously don't love the timing of it. Although December is college hoops with all the holiday hoops season going on, it is also, college bowl season and college football playoff season. And of course, the NFL is at its peak and the NFL is king. So I don't know how it'll work, but I got to commend Adam Silver. Like, I'm pretty hard on Adam Silver sometimes, but if you think about it, trying to do something different in a season that's been 82 games and kind of mundane for our lifetime, it's kind of cool. So we'll talk more about it on the upcoming pods here from NBA Con. But my thanks to Joey Graziano. That was emotional. That was raw. That was real. That's as good as I've ever been fortunate to be a part of. And my brain, when he had told me when he sat down, we started just kind of chit-chatting. And he had told me that he was a baseball player at Georgetown in 2002 to 2005. And then he mentioned that his dad was a New York City firefighter. My wheels were spinning and he let me in. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.